It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast. Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined as always by Gemma Kaneko.
I'm here.
What's up?
You know, raining. Weird.
It is rain. It was a surprise,
surprise rain
day, which is not the best in New York City because I have nothing to cover myself and I will likely be soaking wet when I get home.
Hopefully. I think it's going to stop. I think it's going
to
be okay.
We'll see. You said that earlier, and I think you jinxed it. We have a lot to get to today, though, so enough blathering. We're going to talk about what might be the game of the year, the Indians-Red Sox game. We will discuss some feuding between Chris Archer and Orbit. And then
dramatic pause.
I know. It's because this is a major storyline that we are going to have to keep track of for the rest of the year. And then, of course, Adrian Beltre is one of the most amazing players of all time.
But correct.
Before we get to all of that, we are going to welcome our third member of the Cut Forecast for this week, who you have not heard on the Cut Forecast before. But he is, in many ways, far more important to the state of baseball than any of us. He is, of course, Matthew Stein, the senior manager of social media for MajorLeagueBaseball.com. Thank you for coming on our podcast.
You're welcome. I think I'm a little too modest for that intro, but I appreciate being able to third wheel this thing.
Can you just very, very briefly at the top, toward the end of the show, we're going to do the full interview with you where we get really into what makes you tick, how you operate as a human being in addition to as the senior manager of social media. But just give me the one-line cocktail party summary of your job.
Content, sponsorship, all of editorial for social media for Major League Baseball, and we work hand-in-hand with all 30 teams.
So a very small job. Not a lot.
Pretty minuscule. Yeah. Not important. Very not visible.
Yeah,
nobody
not visible.
Sees what we do at all.
This is why I say you're deeply responsible for baseball. Is that the way I interact with baseball largely is on social media in addition to watching the game. And like you are very, very, very responsible for that. But we'll get into exactly how and in what ways he is later in the podcast, because we got to talk about actual baseball first.
If you insist.
I do. Dang it. Today we're recording this on Wednesday. This is the day after what might be the game of the regular season of 2017, Indians Red Sox. It had four lead changes, 22 total runs scored, a home run robbery for the ages from Austin Jackson, a couple wild pitches, and a walk-off home run in the end. What is there left to say about this game that hasn't already been said? We'll start with the Jackson catch. Stein, where does this rank for you among all the catches that you've ever seen?
You know, it's accentuated because he flipped over the wall the same way like Torrey Hunter did trying to get the the David Ortiz grand slam a few years ago. They were talking about bullpen cop. Even had Hunter made that catch in a bigger moment, this catch is better.
Yeah,
aesthetically better. Degree of difficulty. He was going to the side on an angled wall. He actually landed kind of well.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It's a lot from a guy that you don't really hear about anymore because he's not as good as he used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like, I think the point that you touched on with aesthetics, I think is really key because like, we're going to talk about the Torrey Hunter catch a lot in this
conversation. What a surprise.
Or non-catch, I should say, in this conversation. But like, it is coming like sideways, sort of like that. The track is different, and so the way the camera is focused on it, it looks harder.
He didn't hit at a straight perpendicular angle to that wall, and also the wall from a height perspective is slowly dipping at that point too.
Yes.
It's lower in the it's not a good angle at all. Somehow he didn't break his hip on that.
Yeah,
from hitting the wall. Forget about the flip.
And it looked like it's further away. Like the ball was further away from the wall. It was further beyond the wall than
extension
the Torrey Hunter. Torrey Hunter was. Yeah. So like it. It's harder catch. Visually, it's more beautiful. He actually caught it.
Yeah, that's the key part here.
Yeah, he actually caught it.
Your social media intel, I'm pretty sure it was one of our top three most retweeted videos of the year so far. So that
really?
Tell you anything you need to know.
Do you know off the top of your head the other two?
Chris Coughlin's flip.
Oh, yeah.
Catcher.
Yeah.
And second, this shouldn't really surprise anybody, but it's not something the first thing you might think about. When the ball got stuck to Yadi's chest protector back in the spring.
That was fun.
Nobody's seen that before.
It was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm happy to have you on the
podcast. Yeah, now we know all the insight. We want to know. We want to know what people care about. Yeah. Well, I heard a lot of people say it was the top catch ever at Fenway. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's hard to think of one off the top of my head that's better. Like, it's just...
I saw a lot of qualifiers, too, that were like, oh, that involves an obstacle, because people want to, like, throw JBJ catches in front of it, because... But I think the fact that there is an obstacle is what makes it one of the best catches.
Also, leaving the field of play is inherently thrilling.
Yes,
they had to review it to make sure that it was okay.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody actually, like, knows what that rule is, except for the umpires, because, like, it's just... It logically, you're like, I think it's a home run because it went over the fence, right? But the whole thing is like, I just like when guys leave the field of play.
It's exciting. It's always exciting.
Like the Jeter dive is another great example of
which
that.
He caught basically in fair territory. But let's, I'm a Yankee fan. Let's take it easy for a second.
As the Red Sox fan, I'm not going to go all in on that. But it's like, it definitely, it's cool when guys, it's like, it's fun. It reminds you that this is a real thing that is happening in the same space as just like Joe Schmo buying a hot dog. Like I think that to me is part of what made that so thrilling. But I mean, even that just separate from the game would have been one of the most thrilling things to happen all year. But being part of this like insane back and forth matchup between two teams that very well could wind up in the postseason, I think it just raised the stakes even higher. And then, of course, you had the Christian Vasquez walk-off at the end of the game, which it's rare. It's rare to have the catch of the season completely erased in the ninth inning.
Yes.
It happened.
Yes. That's what was so incredible. Like, every moment that you're like, this is the heroic play. No. I guess this is, right? Like, yeah. I guess getting a hit off Craig Kimbrel like this, that's going to be the big thing. That's going to be the takeaway. And every time it was something different. That was what was exciting. I mean, we were at a different baseball game.
We were at a different baseball game. We went to the Yankees-Tigers game yesterday.
We did.
Gemma was thrilled as our Tigers fan.
I was.
But
it was kind of amazing because I think we could see the lead changing on the scoreboard in the outfield. And that itself was also exciting, and then to find out all the different ways that this because none of it made sense. We were like, wait, didn't Chris Sale start this game? How could
this was a 12-10 finish in a game that was started by Chris Sale and Cookie Carrasco?
We couldn't believe it. We were just like, how can the Indians be up so high so early? We were baffled. We had to like look. It was exciting because the mystery sort of unveiled itself to us throughout the course of the night. It was really exciting.
So you didn't see it. You were at a Yankee game. I had the sound off. I was at the. What I'm pretty sure is the one bar on Roosevelt Island. I'm convinced of it, which closes at 11 p.m. because why wouldn't it?
Did you take the tram to get there?
Took the tram home. We had a doubleheader. This is the semifinals and the finals of our company softball league. Trophy emoji. That's us. We're good. to be fair, we should never lose. We work for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it'd be kind of embarrassing if you were bad.
If we don't win every year, but I think it was our first title in like 4 or 5 years.
Congratulations!
So shouts to that team.
Congrats!
Yeah.
I wish the trophy were here. That would add some class to the Cub forecast.
Yeah.
To visualize,
you get a ring.
The trophy on a
podcast. They get it. They understand. They
we
feel the
know.
Presence through through their headphones. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
but yeah, it was. I think the thing that I thought was really fun about being at that game is that, you know, it's August and yet there's scoreboard watching happening.
Yes.
Like the whole stadium, like you could feel the energy in the stadium change each time the lead changed in that game.
Yankees Red Sox back.
It's back.
Yes.
Both teams are, the payrolls, whatever, but they're young again.
They're young and exciting.
There's
like legit stars on both teams too. It's like, it's not like a media created thing. Like they're legitimately some of the best players. And even the players are focused on it as well. This was Xander Bogaerts had a quote. He said, yeah, this is a PlayStation game, you know, which I like that. That's fun. You keep bouncing back and forth. And then he said, it was good that we came out on top. That's exactly what we needed. The Yankees lost today, so it was a perfect win tonight for us. So, like,
there's two other teams in that division.
we did some predictions a couple weeks ago for the site, and I predicted an all AL East postseason roster between the two wild cards and then the division champ.
I have recently gone all in on the Rays, so
yeah,
that's new for me, but
yeah, at any rate, it's yeah, Yankee Sox, man.
I'm trying to think who the other team would be if it's not the Rays. There's too many questions everywhere.
Yeah, it's changing. Probably it's constantly Texas. Changing. It's not Texas.
Do you buy the Royals?
I don't.
Oh, I don't really buy it. I think they're gonna cool off pretty soon. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it It's going to be a thriller, though.
Especially I do like that it's so tight because, like you said, scoreboard watching is fun.
Yeah.
And when we got on the train back, we were with Cespedes Family Barbecue guys, and Jordan had game day open on his phone, and like other people would be like, what happened? What's going on the train? It became kind of a thing for us on the ride back. So
You know what? Like when people are just sort of randomly stopping each other to ask scores of baseball games, that's how you know you're in the midst of like an incredibly great season.
And it could all be different in a week and a half, and I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Team Dakota.
I'm a Red Sox fan.
You are a Red Sox.
So we're gonna have like an adjunct podcast where you two just fight for like 45 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm used to it.
And what side do you take in this whole Yankees versus Red Sox
race? Go Rays, go. That is how what I have chosen in this. That's how I want this to all fall out.
Well, let's move on. We'll leave Yankees Red Sox later in the season, where I think I have a sense that we may have more to talk about.
I've personally been booed by both Yankees fans and Red Sox fans. So
I know. I'm sorry. I did apologize after I did it.
I've been booed by Rays fans, but.
Oh,
that's like a double own. Okay, let's talk about this. Chris Archer decided to formalize his feud with Astros mascot Orbit. Orbit is known for pranking people, for just generally being mischievous and disruptive. That seems unfair to Orbit. Just playful. He's young. He's a baby. He doesn't know.
Is he a baby?
Isn't he a baby?
Doesn't he have baby friends? Aren't there baby bit little bit?
This was Claire's
Isn't
thing.
That a baby?
We don't know what's going to happen when he grows up.
Is Orbit a baby?
I have no idea.
I thought Orbit.
The limit of Stein's like just encyclopedic recall of things.
Okay, so I have separate story to get to about Orbit. But
yes.
That's after a second.
Okay.
So continue on this one, but I have different type of intel on.
Oh.
It's not about how old he is.
Oh, interesting.
Well, do we know if it's a...
We don't know if it's... Well, he's an alien. It's an alien. So we don't know. Gender could be
well,
a different
also,
thing.
So could age, right?
That's true.
So maybe Orbit's alien race lives for like 700 years. We don't know.
That's true. In which
so
case,
where
he
are
could
they
be 60 and still be somewhat
a baby. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. At any rate...
Bottom line, he's adorable.
Yes.
He is adorable.
Orbit is adorable.
And
also
prankster.
Friend of Cut 4.
And a friend of Cut 4. But above all that, he's not a friend of Chris Archer. And Chris Archer made that known by delivering a formalized complaint. Here's how it began. A state of I'm going to read the whole thing because this is just a legitimately important historical document. A state of... It's like someday kindergarten... classes, they'll memorize this.
It's going into the National Archives.
Yeah, and then Nick Cage will steal it. A state of discord has existed between Chris Archer of the Tampa Bay Rays and Orbit of the Houston Astros. Whereas general mischief and rascality have been among Orbit's repeated trespasses, Chris Archer is hereby resolved to carry on a campaign of pranks, gags, and hijinks in retaliation, which include, but are not limited to, use of such objects as water balloons, whipped pies, silly string, small motorized vehicles, bubblegum, handcrafted signage, and any of the considerable resources of a major league clubhouse. War. It's on.
Yeah, a formal declaration of war.
Orbit did respond on Twitter saying, quote, "Just a guy trying to watch a game at Chris Archer. Nothing to see here. # master of disguise." He was wearing those Groucho Marx glasses.
Where you want to, you know, think about this for a little bit. How does Orbit tweet?
I mean, you're the expert, so I have a sense that you know. Okay.
That might be a little kayfabe thing.
I would assume there's some sort of telepathic communication between him and the phone. That's true.
That four, what we, I guess.
Digits.
He has four, yeah.
He's digits.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does he tweet?
Maybe
how
it's
does
a
he
hunt
tweet?
Peck kind of thing.
There's some dude somewhere who knows how to speak Orbit.
Wait, what are you saying to me?
Orbit has a friend who travels with him.
Oh, he has a friend
who could translate.
Oh,
who translates?
Okay,
what Orbit says.
Okay, good. I was worried.
Very adept at interpreting Orbit. Basically.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, that's good to know. That's good. I'm glad that you were here to clear that up for me because I did have that confusion. I thought you were going to say that he wasn't a real alien, and I was upset. But I'm glad that you didn't say that. But like I like that finally a player has stood up for the players, right? They have had to put up with nonsense and pranks. Somebody needs to do this with Dinger as well. And like we need to finally like have players be willing to stand up for themselves.
Well, I wonder if this is going to become, you know, a little bit Game of Thronesy, and players across teams will start to form alliances. Because remember when Jason Kipnis also declared that it was his goal to troll every mascot in Major League Baseball? Like, I wonder if he and Chris Archer can work out some kind of deal, you know, if they can broker some kind of cross-team alliance there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing some proactivity from the players. You've seen a lot over the years of I'm going to ignore this. Do you remember?
Yep.
One of my favorite GIFs of all time is when Orbit is trying to get Coco Crisp, I think he was with the A's at the time, to play Twister. And just because his mask, I know it's the same expression every time, it's still mask, but he puts his head, puts his head up and just a smile, and it's the most adorable thing in the world. He's just trying to play some Twister.
Yeah.
Coco's having none of it.
Coco Crisp, serious man.
Well, maybe that is what tipped the edge from, hey, play with me, to now I'm going to screw with you all the time. And send mysterious gifts to your clubhouse.
We as humans made Orbit a prankster.
Yes.
By being unwilling
to
buy into
Orbit just wanted to
wish.
Play. And now Orbit has to have people engage by sending strange things to them in the clubhouse and making signs and spraying them with silly string.
You know what? I buy that theory. I think that's a good unified theory of Orbit. Stein, you said you had some intel for us on Orbit.
This is completely behind the curtains now.
Okay.
We're not like revealing anything you don't know. Like it's a mascot. One of the, to show you how far my career has, let's use the word evolved here. In November, I traveled to Houston for a mascot conference.
Oh my God.
So behind, you know, pulling out the curtain a little bit, the people behind the masks. Are we allowed to say that on
whoa,
the air?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What mask?
Are we ruining
what
things
mask?
The mascot's best friends.
The mascot best friend, yes.
If you're listening to our podcast with children, now would be a good time to use the 30-second skip button. Skip ahead a couple times.
I'll do this real quick. As to best practices in stadium, best promotion, social media, which is why I was down there.
Okay.
And other things. It was just a big conference with most of the mascots down there to exchange ideas.
That sounds like the
greatest event of all time.
I couldn't wait to go. It was great. So because of that, I built some relationships with some handlers.
Okay.
Interpreters, some translators.
Friends of the mascots.
Yes.
Mascots, and Orbit happened to be one of them. Shouts to the D-backs, by the way. No names, but shouts to the D-backs.
Interesting.
Huh.
So in Miami this year at the All-Star Game, I was going to do something at FanFest for Tops. And I walk in, and right at the front gate, Orbit is doing his thing, shaking hands and taking photos with kids alongside his friend of mascot.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I tap him on the back, I say hello, and he goes, "We're actually we're going upstairs. We're off in about 5 minutes. You know, come up and chat." Okay, sure. We netted out that we were both done at 6 o'clock on this Friday before the All-Star game. So we took Orbit to Miami Beach, and it was just Orbit being Orbit on South for an hour. It was unreal. It was the first time MLB went live on Snapchat from All-Star 2, so that was our intro.
That's like, so fun.
Miami.
That is amazing.
Oh, what a good thing.
And this all happened just because I happened to be at a mascot conference.
I think the lesson in that story is always go to mascot conferences.
Yeah, I also think any story that ends with, "and it all happened because of a mascot conference," is a great story.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I might have the only story that ends with that.
Hopefully it's not the first story of yours that will end like that.
Are you the man who taught Orbit's translator how to tweet then?
I can claim none of that.
He's too modest. He's too modest. Let us now move on to discuss... I think one of your favorite players, Gemma, Adrian Beltre.
Oh, yeah, I do love Adrian Beltre. But isn't Adrian Beltre one of everyone's favorite players?
He is one of everyone's favorite players.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
Right?
He's great. He finally got his 3,000th hit on Sunday. That was thrilling. He's the 31st player in Major League Baseball history to do it. I hate to have this conversation because he's obviously a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes.
We all agree?
Yeah.
There's not a question.
Yeah, he's
okay, great.
Definitely
he was
a Hall
of Famer 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Good. I'm glad we're all on the same page. Because like I have friends who are like, well,
you know,
he needs another couple years. But
do you know how big that 3,000 hit 500 home run club is? I think he might be the sixth at most when he gets to 500.
Yeah, and when you add on to that the fact that he was one of the best defensive players ever. Like,
yeah.
I am obsessed with Adrian Beltre.
He obviously would have been in the Cut 4 Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's already
his general charmingness and personality, and he's like just such a lovable guy.
He's already in the Cut 4 Hall of Fame.
Yes, of course. I know.
He also recently, this happened after we taped last week, but he was scolded for being in the wrong position when he was on deck. And so he decided to just bring the on deck circle to where he was, because Adrian Beltre plays by his own rules. And that is one of the many reasons why he is awesome.
Yes. I will agree.
I wanted to take a minute on this podcast to acknowledge the great man himself. That was really... I don't really have anything else to say about him, but I'm just happy. Shout out to you, Adrian. I know you're listening, so shout out to you.
Agree. I think we all love him. I think we all love his strange antics, and I hope to see more of them for many years to come.
It's going
to
be a sad day when April 1st, 2024, when he says this is going to be my last.
Oh, I know. It's going to be so heartbreaking.
2024.
That's a long time.
That's at least 14 more years.
Is my math good?
Yeah, that was accurate and true.
That was good.
Certified by us.
That's why I work in words.
But before we move on, I want to tell you about the MLB.com StatCast podcast, a show dedicated to the analytics that drive the front office decisions in the modern game. It's hosted by Mike Petriello and Matt Myers, two certified geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
I've given them that title, yeah. Certified geniuses.
I agree.
And last week, they investigated a few StatCast angles for pre-deadline deals before debating Adrian Beltre's place among the all-time great third basemen. Hopefully, it's pretty high, or else... I will have a bone to pick with the two of them. If that's something you want to hear about, and I don't know why you wouldn't, you can search for StatCast Podcast on Apple Podcasts or go to www.statcastpodcast.com. That's statcastpodcast.com. Now I want to actually take the time to delve into the human being that is Matthew Stein. What makes you tick? What is it at the core of you that says, today I must develop a content strategy for MLB.com social media?
I mean, generally on most days, I'm just thinking of the beach. That's a loaded question. What goes into a content strategy? Honestly, we've been doing this now. I started in social in 2012, so it's almost ingrained that I don't need to worry about it on a day-to-day. It's more about adapting to new things that come up, whether it's a new platform or a new initiative or figuring out the best way to promote X highlight.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a step back. Let's see, how did you wind up in this job? Because I think there's this thing that, like, we're all around the same age, and I think that, like, a lot of people our age just kind of wound up doing a lot of social media jobs, and I don't think anybody when they're like 5 or 6 is like, no. I want to grow up to do social media.
I got into it before anybody really wanted it. Yeah. Like, before it was this on-demand job. And it wasn't luck. Like, I worked my butt off to get here, but it wasn't my initial plan. I was going to be a journalist. I went, or a sports writer, whatever you want to call it. I went to Rutgers for 4 years, where they taught pretty much newspaper journalism. Made a lot of good contacts there. One of my, I guess the guy who runs the entire program, Stephen Miller, he's the one who hooked me up with a man at MLB named Arturo Partavilla, who's still my boss back when he was working on the website. So he brought me in as an intern after my junior year. They offered me a part-time job before I graduated, to which I said, yeah, let's do that. It wasn't that hard of a decision. But I worked doing editing and long-form production for the website for a couple years before moving over to social in 2012. And when I came over, we were just building our content team. 6 people by the end of 2012, 90 plus now.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
We're an agency. We're in whatever word you want to use to describe our department, we are.
And that includes at MLB, that includes all the Snapchat, Instagram, that includes most of the club accounts.
We're the most active on Twitter volume wise.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is the most important.
Okay.
For demographics, for growth. It's what most of the players are using actively now as well.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook always, biggest reason, video views and traffic. Snapchat, Tumblr, Pinterest. And technically, if you want Google Plus, there's a page that exists.
So how much? So from day one, from like 2012 to now, what do you think is the biggest sea change in how you approach social content? What could you have not imagined being important or caring about or promoting in 2012?
In 2012, we were specifically social content and just pretty much putting out video highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the game. it evolved over time to, all right, let's put out Read and React. Let's be the voice of the league on any given night, meaning we pay attention to what's happening in all 15 games, retweet over we need to retweet, put out some quick hitters and responses, just keep the conversation moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become, it's our bread and butter. It's what mm-hmm. we always do. The biggest change for me is actually not social. In our company, MLB.com, we mm-hmm. want to distribute content as best as we can
mm-hmm.
And reach the most people that we can. If you have At-Bat on your phone, the editorial notifications that you get, that's from our department. We have people specifically built to put out At-Bat alerts directly to your phone, and those things reach 10 times more people than a tweet.
Yeah.
So what goes into that process then? Is it you see something in a game and you're like, I want to, or an article on our site or a video, and you're like, I want as many people as possible to see this? Like,
Austin Jackson's catch.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, snap of the fingers. This needs to go to everybody. We start writing and figuring out what we're going to say before the video even comes into our inboxes.
Okay.
So we have it written, copy edited, ready to roll. The video comes in. We stick it in our publishing system and we send it out. It should be a 5-minute process start to finish. Highlights are the easy part. We kind of know after how many years of watching baseball, yeah, you prioritize your stars. People hate us for posting so much about Aaron Judge. The negative minority always outweighs and it shows in how many clicks and views we get.
So. Yeah, you don't have to defend Aaron Judge on this
right,
show.
Right. We love Aaron Judge. Yeah.
For the people who comment on one of our tweets, stop showing Judge.
Well, this is like, it's how I feel about every restaurant review site. It's like, everyone who actually like types one out and does more than the star rating, like if you're typing something out, like
you have a strong
you have a strong feeling, and it's gonna outweigh anyone who's like, oh yeah, this is fine. I feel no need to like continue. So I feel about it. People want to see Aaron Judge.
Also, all press is good press.
Yeah,
that's my journalism background.
So
it's more about like, okay, live look-ins. Everything from a no-hitter watch, which we start looking in the seventh inning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ingrained. That's our SOP. But we kind of pick and choose what we're going to look in on. Okay, Beltre's coming up on 3,000. We're going to look in on every at-bat. That's kind of obvious. It's more about Nolan Arenado's having a big game. He's got a chance at a third home run. Do we want to look in on that and send it out just to Rockies fans, not even globally to everybody? This play was just okay, but it's Ahmed Rosario who just came up for the Mets. Let's alert this to Mets fans who might not be watching the game because, I mean, they're the Mets now, so... watching the game now, they'll see this Rosario play. It's really about that. Think about who might be watching, and send what should be sent to them.
So you said that you grew up a Yankees fan. You are a Yankees fan. Do you? I feel like doing this job, you have to be thinking in the brain of fans of all 30 teams. Do you find like, how has that changed the way that you watch baseball? Do you watch each team as though you're a fan of that team?
No, but you learn to appreciate the intricacies of the game a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Watching 15 games a night for as long as I did. I'm not like on the night grind now, but I was for a long time.
Yeah.
You start having your favorite players around the league. You start having broadcasters you prefer listening to broadcast that do a better job than others. And you start paying, okay, like, 2-1 slider down and away, you start appreciating certain pitches or certain, like, how they're shifting people. You become a bigger fan of the game and less a fan of your team.
Yeah.
I'm a bigger Yankee fan now, again, because they're young and exciting than
right.
a few years ago. But that's just part of the job.
That's the thing that I think people have a hard time understanding who don't actually work in baseball, and that's one of the things that I try to talk to people about is, like, you don't lose fandom. That never really happens. It just changes it. Like fundamentally in your mind, like what it is that actually appeals to you about the sport, about athletes. Like, I mean, you've probably interacted with a lot of the players individually, and like that sort of thing also just totally changes the way that you perceive these guys and what they're doing.
Look, I've had a night where it's 1:30 in the morning, the eighth inning of a D-backs Padres game on the West Coast. It's a blowout game, and I'm sitting there watching, trying to predict what pitch they're going to throw next. Thinking about strategy, the evolution of an at bat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to be like, you can't do that at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock when there's actually 15 games going on at the same
mm-hmm.
time. But when you're actually focused on a game or two, and it's not one of your fan, not one where the team you're a fan of is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the way I kind of started thinking about it. Not everybody does. I know like way too much about the sport stats and all that stuff. Like, we have people in the room right now who are like they grew up on Baseball Prospectus and Fangraphs, and they mm-hmm. know way more than I do. And I'm kind of like just getting knowledge from being around them.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy that. I enjoy that kind of setting and that kind of camaraderie. But yeah, it's a totally different experience of watching the game now.
So who are your top five favorite players to watch now that aren't Yankees?
That's hard because my fantasy team dictates it.
Well, this is basically fantasy league chat. We talk about our teams all the time.
Yeah. So Beltre is one of them. Mm-hmm. You got to give me a couple minutes to think.
No, think about it. Yeah, just in like in terms of like, oh, I'm excited to make sure people see this highlight. Like people might not see this. Like I'm bringing this out to the world because I pay attention.
Okay,
to
so let's do it. What situations are the best things to watch? Pitchers who rake.
Yeah.
Number one across the board. Every time a pitch. When Bartolo Colon homered, and I'm so sad I wasn't in the office that night.
What a truly incredible
shut down that
night. I was
night,
out at a birthday party with one of my friends who works here who's a Mets fan, and we got the alert on it. We got the at-bat notification first. We weren't monitoring Twitter, and we started freaking out, and we watched it.
Uh-huh.
And we must have watched it 15 times in the first 20 minutes just because we couldn't believe that it happened. But you see, like yesterday, John Lester and Max Scherzer mm-hmm. both homered in the same night. What?
Yeah, that's amazing.
You got position players who can't homer that many times.
Yeah, we got the at-bat notification for both of those home runs at the game that we were at. And we were all just like, oh, yes, there's a live baseball game going on. We're going to watch this home run.
There was a lot of second screening. Jordan Schusterman of Cespedes Family Barbecue was just flat out watching the Mariners game on his phone the whole time. It's hard to turn off the brain. I mean, do you find that at all when you're not working? Do you make do you intentionally try to tune out a little bit from baseball? Do you find that hard?
I want you to define the term for me real quick, not working.
Yeah.
No.
I'm on call all the time.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer because our bosses do listen to this. So
right.
That's the right answer.
I don't need to actively watch games all the time, but I have Slack on my phone and I'm like, it's not like I'm stepping away. If I have Slack and I have Twitter, baseball is naturally going to be a part of my life.
If you want to feel like you work with us at Cut4, you can opt into Cut4 notifications on at-bat in the app.
Do.
So do that
please
and do. Then it'll be like we're texting you all the time.
That it feels like that.
Hell of a plug.
That's why Gemma's here. She thinks.
I just want to be friends with all of our listeners, and that's what there is. That's the option.
I want to ask you about something else that you do: the baseball card show on Facebook Live.
You're giving it away. Nobody knew my name.
Well, okay. We're breaking news here on the Cut Forecast.
The pair of hands.
They would recognize your voice listening to this. They'd be like,
that's the hope.
Stein.
I am the official voice of Major League Baseball Facebook Live, self-appointed.
So this is what I want to talk to you about. Because this, like, I was going to put this in the intro, is that this is maybe how people recognize you. Because, this is the coolest thing.
It's so fun.
Facebook Live became a thing roughly a year ago, maybe a little bit more. Not just a thing that Facebook was trying out, but like a full-blown thing that Facebook was making a big deal about, and they mm-hmm. were putting it in everybody's timeline. You get notifications on your phone if you sign up for them.
Right.
So we were, messing around. We had a deal with them to post X number a week, and we were trying to figure out creative ways to do things because we didn't want to just go live from different ballparks and batting practice and press conferences. So I've known, I had a friend who was a collector at one point, and I know, on YouTube, you're watching, a shopping haul or an unboxing, whatever else. Mm-hmm. Those things, they're niche audiences, but they're big.
People love that.
People love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew baseball cards had an audience like that, but I wasn't sure how big. So we did three those first couple weeks. Mm-hmm. The response was incredible. I've been doing them every 2 weeks since. I work with Topps. They ship us new stuff every week or 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I do it usually every other Friday, as long as my schedule allows it for. Here's my shameless plug. Baseball card day is coming up officially next Saturday on the 11th. So we're going to do four or five different box breaks and a whole bunch of giveaways Friday and Saturday from MLB Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Good plug. Very good plug.
Well, that's also cool. Everyone should go.
That's also extremely
cool. Look at that. Yes.
This is how enjoyable and honestly kind of simple that job is.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my job is to unpack baseball cards, put it in front of the camera, read the names and just kind of give some running commentary. I got better at it as the months have gone on. Just mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with it.
You're iconic at it. I will use the word iconic.
Wow.
There are people, I start recognizing as I'm going through and I give shout outs here and there as I'm looking at my phone screen while doing it. I start recognizing the same people on it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. You have a fan base.
Kind of great.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
and so nobody's reached out yet and told me I'm doing a bad job. So whatever.
You do a great job. You do a great job.
You're doing a great job.
Legitimately extremely cool.
Yes.
We all watch it while we're supposed to be working.
It's true.
Do you, I mean, you get to open baseball cards. You get to watch baseball. For somebody who wants a job like yours, what advice would you give to people? Like, would you say, here are the kinds of, and not like, you know, take this client, like not, or even just not watch a lot of baseball. Like, what is there some other?
It's not baseball, and it's certainly not class.
Yeah.
You said don't take, no, you said take this class.
Never class.
No class on the Cut Forecast.
Very opposed to that. I went to Rutgers with the full extent of covering a Big Six college sport. That's the biggest reason that I chose to go there. I needed to stay in state New Jersey. And I went to Rutgers, and I got involved with the Daily Targum, which was the daily paper. We had 5 issues a week, first semester sophomore year. By second semester sophomore year, I was pretty much done with class. I wanted nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. I taught myself so much more. I learned so much more from being around professional writers and reporters and covering. Like, these guys went on to play in the NFL, not the NBA, because Rutgers had a terrible basketball team. But we have NFL players. I was talking to Kenny Britt, Ray Rice, a whole bunch of guys that, and Greg Schiano for, that's three controversial people, actually.
Yeah, are you a Schiano man?
In some ways.
That's on our next podcast. Yeah. We'll break that down.
But it's just the experience that you get is so much more valuable than learning things in a classroom.
Yeah.
I hate to say that because you kind of have to go to a big school or a school with a really good journalism program to get that or to even have the chance to do that. But that's what happened. The biggest advice I can give is just don't ever turn down any interview or any writing opportunity because of any reason that you have in your mind. There's no reason that's a good enough reason to not put yourself out there and do something. The worst case scenario is that nothing comes of it. The best case scenario, somebody sees it, you get noticed, or you start making connections. It is all about connections. So many people are in this company because of who they know. That happens everywhere. And I know I'm talking specifically about writing, and yeah, jobs and writing are pretty hard to – paid jobs may be hard to find. But when we hire for social media, we look at 3 things, and the most important one has been your editorial background, because that's the hardest to learn. You can teach social media – and if you put your mind to it, you can learn baseball better. It's not the same thing for writing, for video production. That's the kind of stuff you need to come in with a background.
Yeah, I think that we run into that too. And I think that, like, there's this sense that you have to just love baseball, which you do, obviously, because if you don't love baseball, this job would be terrible, right? But I think that you have to come at it a different way, I think. And like, I think the way that you talk about like that editorial background, the stuff that you actually can learn, because you can't learn to love baseball. You just love baseball. But right. Everybody loves baseball, so it's not enough. You need something else.
Look at it from another way. When you're filtering through resumes, and we're Major League Baseball, we're going to get a lot of resumes for any job that we post. If 900 out of the 950 lead with how big of a baseball fan you are, those are immediately going in the discard pile. And the next 50, talking about your history, your background, your work experience, that's where we're starting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
about how you package yourself, too.
Yeah. It's a thing where I think you guys, you have a very coveted little sphere of influence within our site where, I mean, you guys basically are the voice of Major League Baseball that most people will interact with. And I think that it takes a lot to actually run that well and to make it sound familiar and friendly and like something you want to interact with. So I think you've done an awesome job. I want to thank you for being on our podcast.
Sure, I appreciate it.
Great to have you here. It is now time to summarize our podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast in one bite-sized chunk. Now, you're the pro, so theoretically, you should be able to do this well. I didn't brief you on it beforehand. Apologies for that.
We are
because
both
of that,
really bad
we're both
at
terrible
too,
at
so.
It, and you don't actually have to tweet it, so it's okay. And we'll let you go last for being so gracious as to come on our show. And because, frankly, the pressure is pretty high on you since this is your job. Gemma?
You should go first because you never go
first.
Go first.
I'll go
oh,
first.
That
this
worked.
This is my 140 character
worked.
Summary of our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to @MLB_S Matthew Stein for coming on the Cut Forecast and helping to reignite the Yankees Red Sox rivalry, period. # Cut Forecast.
That was very nice.
Thank you.
That was very sweet.
I thought so.
Yes.
What's your tweet?
Mine is going to be you have your own Twitter handle, right?
I do.
Do you want people to follow you? Should I say what it is?
No, I'm not as active. That's actually a part we didn't touch on. I'm not that active on social anymore because I work in it every single day.
Gotcha.
So you're not going to, there's no reason to follow me.
Gotcha.
It feels like he pulls up Twitter on the phone. It's like, oh, gosh.
In my case, it will my tweet will be similar to yours at the beginning. Thanks to @MLB's Matt Stein for joining us on the Cut Forecast. However, I am declaring all out prank war on Dakota Gardner, and I'm all in on the Rays and Chris Archer.
Well, that's terrifying. I don't want to see where that ends up. I feel if I'm not on the Cut Forecast next week, you'll know what happened to me, and it's her.
Like, everyone would know that, even if I didn't say that.
All right, give us your tweet.
Confused card opener Matthew Stein comes on podcast, trashes Rays, pulls back the curtain on Orbit, just generally kind of has a good time.
Aww.
See, this is why you're the professional.
That was so nice.
If you have a tweet.
Not the most catchy tweet. I'd probably add like a good video in there to make people want to engage
like
with it.
Like a native video. That's good.
Yeah.
If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast in one bite-sized chunk, which you will not because you are not MLB's Matthew Stein, you can tweet it at us, @Cut4 with #CutForeCast. You can also follow us on Twitter, @Cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4, and all of our articles will appear in your newsfeed at the behest of a one Mr. Mark Zuckerberg. You can go to mlb.com/cut4 and you can see all of our stuff there. Click it, like it, read it. You can email us cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. Questions, comments, concerns, moral quandaries. You don't know which apartment you want to move to. You don't know which restaurant you want to take your first date to. We will help you in that regard. This is a podcast. You can go to iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts is just how I do it now. It's 2017. I guess I should start calling it Apple Podcasts instead of iTunes. And you can actually subscribe to our podcast there. You can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. You can write a review. If you don't have the time to write a review, do what Jake and Jordan of Cespedes Family Barbecue suggested and write down your favorite baseball player, and then we'll know who your favorite baseball player is. That's information I want. Matthew Stein, thank you for being here, for gracing us with your presence and your class and gravitas.
Oh, you're very welcome. If you ever need a third wheel, just roughly this time of day on Wednesdays, I'm good.
That is good information to have.
That is good
information. Gemma, thank you as always for being here.
Watch your back.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week, maybe, if I'm still here.